Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Save up to 50% on your favorite music, movies, and more by going to castwavestudios.com/Amazon. Help this show and save money at the same time. Bookmark and click through today at castwavestudios.com/Amazon. Is it Monday again? Are you hungry? Come on down to Mellow Mushroom Adams Morgan in our nation's capital. Mellow Mushroom has live music, trivia, bingo, and a beer club that provides member-only rewards for exploring the craft selection of 24 drafts and numerous canned and bottled brews. Most famous for their hand-tossed pizzas, pretzels, baked in a stone oven. They also have calzones, hoagies, and salads using the highest quality of ingredients. Options are available for vegetarians, vegans, kids, and those on a gluten-free diet. Like them on Facebook at Mellow Mushroom and follow them on Twitter at Mellow Admo. Tell them that Castwave Studios sent you and get 20% off your bill on a Monday. That's Mellow Mushroom in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Tell them that Castwave Studios sent you.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On this week's episode, we discuss the gifts of Christmas past, the gifts of Christmas present, and our gift of Christmas future. A voice-off of epic proportion. I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we're boldly going nowhere.
With a wooden pole the entire time.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yes, and by the way, we are recording.
I know.
So we cut all that on tape.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. why wouldn't we?
Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere, Brian.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
I thought you were used to this by now.
I am. I'm just, you know, for anybody that's just joining us, Colin has wood.
It's our holiday spectacular!
Yay!
Cue the music.
Peace on earth.
All right, anyway.
Can it be... rumpa pum pum.
By the way, has anyone just gotten sick and tired of like holiday music
in general?
I more than anyone.
Oh yes.
Well yes, that's right.
I work in TVs and it's all like just 5 minutes of just the same stupid song.
Come, song? They told me pa rumpa pum pum.
One is the Christmas song, you know.
Merry Christmas to you. Your new Santa's on his way. It's got lots of toys and goodies.
And basically, it's this blonde woman. She's like, you know, a little pudgy, but she's singing this. And like every time she goes to that high note, like Santa's on his way, I pull out my phone and I have the fart app.
Yeah.
So I just press like Santa's on his way, and when she makes that face, I make the fart sound because she looks like she's pooting. Yeah. It really does. Jesus.
My question to you, Sean: how often do you have to hear the Christmas shoes?
I was
none
gonna bring...
at all, actually.
Thank you.
Because I am so grateful for you.
That's a bullshit song.
Mom, I wanna buy you.
Mom, I wanna buy you some affordable healthcare because you actually need it, not these stupid shoes.
Because you're gonna be dying.
But she wants to look pretty. For Jesus.
No, here's what
I have a friend of mine who hits up like three karaoke bars a week, and he says like every single night since Thanksgiving, he's heard that at least three times. It is the poker face, or perhaps the Bohemian. it's the Bohemian Rhapsody of the Christmas season.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
I don't even know how it goes.
That song.
I'm ignoring it.
I'm not gonna lie. That song is such bullshit. But one of the funniest moments of my entire life, that is one of only two things I've ever seen my father, like, openly weep at.
Yeah.
That song. He's like,
he weeps at that song?
No, not gonna lie. We're sitting in a van on the 23rd of Christmas, right? We're 23rd of December. We're driving along, right? Radio comes on. And this song starts playing. And so we're just sitting there, and I'm just not paying attention because I hate this song. So much. We're just sitting there, and I just happened to glance over at my dad, and I just see tears coming down the side of his face. He's not like openly like. Just, I see him coming. I'm like,
are you crying? He's like, no. He's like, are you crying? We don't cry. No one cries in baseball.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those moments.
I just remembered you told me this story like 2 years ago. I had forgotten that. I swear I only brought that up because of the karaoke thing.
No, I know. The thing is, I hate that song. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up.
No, dude.
I'm pretty sure the only song on the radio that I cry at is Gone Away by The Offspring. That's more normal, right?
Yeah, a little bit more. That's more normal. It's not something that's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we're going to discuss Christmas gifts.
Yeah, Jordan, you were telling us about a gift you actually just got for your birthday. Which is
yes, my birthday is December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day.
I was about to make a day that it
would have been. Pearl Harbor sucked, but not as much as
I'm I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to the day in which I can date a Japanese girl and find and like when I say that to her, I just can't imagine what she'll say. I'm going to take a picture.
Oh, really? You will come across in my heart.
So I got Lego Marvel. For the PS3. It's Marvel in Lego form. I've been a fan of the Lego games since Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously they aim really young. But I find really charming the level design and building Lego stuff to solve puzzles and what have you. So yeah, I've enjoyed Lego Star Wars, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Batman was quite good, and then came Lego Marvel, which is I'm surprised this game even exists because all the Lego games are made by a company called Take-Two Interactive, which is owned by Warner Interactive.
Yeah, go figure.
So. He kind of thought that there'd be some conflict of interest there, but what do you know? I guess Warner Brothers just likes – they own DC Comics, by the way. I forgot this was in the comic shop. But, I thought there'd be some conflict of interest there. But, no, I guess Warner Brothers also likes money, so they – so that's there's Lego Marvel, which is – you know, it does everything in its power to remind you of those really awesome movies we probably all like. And I like those really awesome movies that we probably all like, so I was having a pretty good time. This game is buggy as hell. It's really kind of a shame. I can't tell you the number of times that I've started a mission and hit a dead end and because it bugged out and I did not realize this and just thought that there was something I was missing, so I waste a half an hour running around everywhere. But I would have thought that would have gotten patched by now, but still, it's a bit sloppy, but... It covers such a huge scope of the Marvel Universe. Like there's like 120 different playable characters.
Wow.
Agent Coulson is there, and he's rocking that thing that he threatened Loki with when he died.
Cards?
No. That gun. That was like it was the Destroyer's face laser in a gun.
Oh yeah, it was typical to that one gun that was on the Zion ship in Matrix 1. Yeah.
Basically. I don't even know what this does. Blig. Oh, that's what it does.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Christopher Eccleston's character from Thor: The Dark World is playable, Malekith the Accursed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this game was designed before they got to see that movie, so he's rocking his classic comic book look, in which he looks like one of the aliens from that Star Trek episode. Let This Be Your Last Battlefield.
What the one that Frank Gorshin played?
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So you know, just be aware of that if you're real fans of Christopher Eccleston. And his army of elves. I can't remember if I mentioned the episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show that was supposed to follow the Thor: The Dark World. I was because like okay, this is a show that's inspired by Joss Whedon. I was expecting the really annoying snarky girl to say like so we were almost killed by elves. Like, should we burn our Keebler cookies in protest? Or has Peter Jackson considered lynching Orlando Bloom on the set of The Hobbit? I seriously thought there could be jokes like that. Nope, they didn't even mention it. Didn't drop the E word at all.
Mm.
I was really surprised. And lo and behold, that episode was the greatest episode of that show so far, which isn't saying much.
Yeah, I was expecting that, you know, spoilers, by the way, at the very end, you know, where we got that bullshit after credits thing at the end of Thor: The Dark World. We have that giant, like, dog thing running around London.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking they're going to go chase that thing around.
That would destroy their budget.
Yeah, so, no.
Yeah. No.
All right, so we found out a little bit of what Jordan got, but What are we excited to get this holiday season? I mean, anybody got any? I mean, Brian, I know you said you might have gotten a look or two at what you're going to get this year.
I mean, like, I know one thing I'm getting, which is it's a Tom Baker scarf, but it's but it's the 6-inch one, so it's not the full. It's yes, yours is bigger than mine. So whatever.
What would be the point? Like 6 inches? Seriously?
Oh no, 6 feet. My bad.
Okay.
My bad. Sorry. I got my inches and feet mixed up again.
All right. Granted, I'm not the biggest Whovian at the table right now. How long is Tom Baker's scarf? Is it like 14 feet?
Yeah, it's like the length of this table almost.
Wow.
The idea was is basically.
Does he have to wrap that around his body like eight times?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you watch that show, it's like his whole neck and like bits of it are just hanging down.
Yeah.
But
by the way, if you're listening to this, sorry, Mom. Anyways,
I know
you were trying to hide the stuff. Anyways, but yeah.
It's hard to hide the Tom Baker scarf. It's hard to hide it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to like getting like a lot for Christmas, but I don't know. It'd be nice to get like if I were rich, you know, if I were a rich man, I'd love to get like a PS4 or an Xbox One for Christmas.
Yeah.
But
which would you prefer?
Honestly, at this point, probably the PS4. I mean, it looks like they're going to have a lot more of the better games coming out soon. I mean, the Xbox One also looks really good, but the PS4, I don't know. It just seems like they're going to have better exclusives. And honestly, even though I do enjoy the entertainment aspects of Xbox, I'm there to play games. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the fact that they announced Kingdom Hearts 3, yeah, okay, PS4, why not?
Anyway. That's a good point. Gordon. What are you looking forward to this Christmas?
Well, for me, since my family only ever gives me gift cards, I kind of always, I'm pretty much always in control of what I get for Christmas.
Right on.
I did notice that the Simpsons 16th season box set is out, as well as the Futurama 8th season box set.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that the 8th season is Futurama's last, but the box set doesn't mention it. It doesn't mention that. It's just a picture of the Hypnotoad.
If I can interrupt you for a second, I was actually on Netflix, and they have the 8th season on there. Yeah, they don't mention anything about, like, the last episode. Well, I don't really know where you would put that.
Of course, Futurama's already had, like, 3 last episodes at this point, so maybe they're just tired of the whole gimmick now. But,
Pretty much.
How am I getting those? I feel like, you know, I was the one who put the kernel of the idea in your head that there was going to be a PS4 Vita bundle. I was holding out for that, like, that's come out in the European market.
Yeah.
I really don't know if there's going to be something similar in the North American market.
Well, even though you might have put the kernel in my head, I do know that I was on, I think it was Kotaku, and they were talking about, like, well, rumors are abound that it might come out in the United States, but, you know, worst comes to worst, what? They're, like, what, $150 or, like, $200 for a Vita?
Vita's 200, yeah.
Yeah.
Just marked down from 300.
It's not terrible, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sean, how about you?
I don't think I'm really getting anything. I know I got myself, at least just because I needed one, and it's been like, you know, 8 years I've had a debit card. I was like, you know, I never had besides like a Pep Boys credit card that I could only use in Pep Boys. Like, I was like, how about, you know, I just get myself, how about I just get myself an American Express? I was like, okay, I'll do it. So. Yeah, it's coming in, and hopefully, I'm approved, but I don't know how much I'm getting, but it'll be in the letter.
You're getting a $100 limit on that.
$1 million. No, probably not that much, but yeah, I'll probably.
$1 billion.
What am I getting for Christmas? More debt.
Yeah.
What am I getting for Christmas? The American dream.
More debt?
More debt.
More debt.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're interchangeable at this point.
I usually get, like, gift cards. I mean, the last real gift I remember getting that, like, wasn't in form of gift cards was, what was it, 5 or 10 years? It was about 6 or 7 years ago. My older brother Christian got me the alternate Buffalo Sabres jersey. It was red with cross swords.
Oh, that's cool.
It was sort of a play on their 70s version, but it didn't have the Buffalo on it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought that was really cool. It had my last name on the back of it.
Oh, right on, man.
Kakamise.
Kakamise?
Kakamise. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know I'm getting gift cards. I do know that my girlfriend Liz, she bought me an N64 for my birthday.
Aww.
Oh my God!
Oh no, I was.
React like that?
I did freak out a little bit. Because I gotta admit, the thing is like, I like. Because I have a Wii right now.
Right.
And the Wii is nice and everything, but honestly, I like the old N64 controllers. I just do.
It's so. Like, if I had three hands, I could use it efficiently.
I mean, honestly, I can use it pretty well. It's not like it's. Like,
I know, it's just like. Just that's a point.
Yeah. But no, I mean, the thing is. Is like certain games that I want to play on the Wii aren't on the Wii, and so I have to actually go out and buy them.
Which is funny because I actually just put I was on a forum and I put out this thing. I was like, you know, the N64, it was a great system. They had some really great games on there, but can we just accept now that the controller was just shit? I mean, honestly, it was shit. I'm sorry. I know that you like it, but I think
it's really neat because you could do kind of like a double dutch thing.
It was
like
terrible.
This.
No, the thing is,
we talked about this in a previous podcast, didn't we?
We probably have. No, my only issue.
It's a recurring subject.
Yeah, my only issue is that I want to play N64 games, right?
I
like N64 games. The problem is the classic controller is fucking bullshit. And the only other problem is that my Wii doesn't have. The inputs for the GameCube controller.
And also the Wii controller has like what, a third as many buttons on it as the N64 controller had.
Yeah. Colin, I found my Christmas present, or at least Christmas borrow for you. Would you like to borrow my copies of Shadows of the Empire?
Yes, I do.
I know you do, because it's one of your favorite games.
That I probably is my favorite game on the N64. Okay. No, Star Fox 64 is my favorite game on the
N64. I don't have that.
How many N64 games use the D-pad?
Turok the Dinosaur Hunter,
WWF, No Mercy,
what?
WCW.
Why do you know that?
WCW versus NWO World Tour, and
wrestling games.
One. Yeah, they
wrestling games.
Didn't GoldenEye use it?
No, they used the joystick on that.
Well, for
GoldenEye was one of the few games I remember playing on N64, other than Smash Brothers and Ocarina of Time and the Pod Racer. I don't recall ever touching the D-pad for any of those.
Yeah. That's another game I want to play, Star Wars Pod Racing.
Yeah, if anything,
you definitely used it.
If anything, you use the C buttons more than the freaking D-pad.
There's a couple of things you use the D-pad for.
Yeah, but so there's that, and like she actually was like I couldn't find Donkey Kong on N64. I was like, oh, I mentioned to her that I really wanted to play Donkey Kong Country. Because that is probably one of my favorite games of all time.
Those Super NES games. There's Donkey Kong 64,
right.
Which had mixed reviews. I don't have first-person experience with that one.
Right, and I mentioned that to her. I was like, oh, that's on N64. I mean, that's on Super Nintendo, but that's fine. I mean, I wanted an N64 more than I wanted a Super Nintendo.
Did you have the expansion pack? Speaking of Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
Expansion pack
I have no idea
lift
what you
up
got
that, lift up that front thing and you see if you see red you have the expansion pack.
Sweet. I mean, but she got it for like $30.
Sweet.
What?
Right, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, last time I looked around at a retail outlet around here, which was Playraven wanted to sell it to me for $40, which is a reasonable price for an older system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, if we don't get it there, I guess I can get it at MAGFest.
I bought Ocarina of Time for $20.
Nice.
Right. I spent $10 more, got a whole system.
Yeah.
Than what you paid for one game.
Oh yeah, but to be fair, it's like a really priced game.
I gotta be honest with you, because I do have an N64. I have like a NES also. The only system that's missing is my Super Nintendo. So I'm really just like maybe at MAGFest, I'm just gonna try and rebuild my Super Nintendo collection.
Yeah.
You know what game I would love to play from the Super Nintendo?
What's that?
Besides Donkey Kong Country.
F-Zero?
No, Killer Instinct.
Yes!
That game, I will fuck somebody up with some Cinder action.
You know what game I was really good at in the 64? Clay Fighter 63 in the third.
Clay Fighter.
A lot of people don't remember that game. I mentioned it at Play Raven, and then they just look at me like, what?
Yeah.
That's a game. Yeah, I had to explain it to them.
You know one game I really remember just hating on the N64?
Which one?
Mortal Kombat 4.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was about to mention that. That game is fucking awful.
Oh, my God. It was a piece of shit. All
right. The one Super NES game that I feel like I played more than any other was Pilot Wings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, So this was, of course, like 1991 or 92 or so, and I really was not getting three dimensions in video games yet. Uh-huh. So I seem to remember spending months to beat the first wave of challenges in Pilot Wings, and then I unlock the nighttime Pilot Wings missions, and like, oh, that's another 3 months of my life to try and beat those. And then I was like, okay, I'm finally done. This is going to be an awesome ending, right? Commando mission. You have to pilot like an Apache helicopter and return fire and rescue hostages in like a terrorist camp or something. And I'm like, you know what? Screw this. Mm-hmm. This was bad. This was hard enough without me being shot at.
Mm-hmm. I never
understood that ending.
I would hate myself if I did not recommend these two Super Nintendo games, because I feel like nobody knows what they are. Maybe the first one people know about, but the other one, they have no idea what it is. ActRaiser, which was one of the early games mm-hmm. that came out for it, yep. and Illusion of Gaia. Illusion of Gaia
I've heard people know those two games, dude.
Yeah, okay. Well, I barely hear people talk about those games, and like Illusion of Gaia is honestly one of my favorite games of all time. Mm.
Well, we're talking about gifts that people, you know, we're talking about gifts that we wanted. What's the best gift you've ever gotten?
Oh, shit.
We'll start with Brian. Go.
Yeah, I got to think about
I got to think about mine as well, actually. All right best gift. All right, I mean, I think
since
I just...
Since you mentioned it, yeah.
All right, well, I guess I'll go first. Best gift I ever got was... Ooh, it's tough. I got an original top-loader NES system when... I was, and mind you, I was 13 years old, so this was a full 6 or 7 years after the system had come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was basically...
The dog bone controller and everything?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So basically the idea was that my aunt, they were getting rid of their kids' old systems.
I hate it when people do that.
No, but here's the thing. We had never, up until that point, we had never owned a game system. My parents didn't want that shit in the house. Because they were, you know, they were worried we would waste all our fucking time with it. Right?
Well,
and understandably so, because we did. But no, I mean, here's what I mean. Like, for instance, like the when we got it, we had like by any stretch of the imagination, people would see this lineup of games and be like, "This is fucking bullshit," right? We had WWF WrestleMania.
Fuck yeah, dude!
Right? No, I'm talking about the NES version. So it's like little blobs just going.
Okay.
Right. Rolling Fair Thunder. Enough. Rolling Thunder. I actually remember.
Yeah.
Like, I remember.
Hear my cry.
Yeah.
Because that game was bullshit.
That game, like, it was just basically you just ran around a side scroll and just shot at people.
It was better as an arcade title.
No, it was. And here's the thing. The thing though is, when we put that in, fired it up, like literally we had like 12 people, our entire family just gathered around the TV and we just basically played and just ran through the games. And I was like, okay, this is not normal. These people don't play video games. What is going on? They were all drawn in by the illusion, which I guess sort of works out. It was a nice Christmas moment, I guess. I mean, that's cool. And
children, gather around the NES.
Like, that was the thing. Like, this was around the time when the N64 was just coming out. And so I was like, I didn't care that we didn't have an N64. I was just glad to have a system finally.
Right on. Yeah, no, I get that.
So, I mean, I guess that's my favorite Christmas present, like, ever. I mean, mind you, I'm only 28. Well, 27
I found mine. Yeah.
All right, so go to Charlie.
I was about, about 16. My dad got me my very first electric guitar. My very first guitar. It was an Epiphone Stratocaster. You guys seen it? Yeah, it's like it's black.
The broken one.
That's a broken. It's broken one now. But you know, it was a starter.
It wasn't broken when he received it.
It was brand new. But you know, after a while,
I got a broken guitar for Christmas.
It was the best gift the only, ever.
Yeah, I can fix it. I just have to spend $15 on it. But anyway, yeah, basically like it felt like an actual Stratocaster, but it wasn't a Stratocaster. And that's, I don't know, it's just a great thing. Plus, I got the Epiphone matching amp that I can, like, click on distortion and stuff. So, it was, like, first time I had an electric guitar. I just remember that being, like, the best present I got.
So, if it doesn't feel like a Stratocaster, what does it feel like? A Les Paul?
No, it's a Stratocaster. It feels like a Stratocaster, but it's not a Stratocaster. Yeah. It looks very similar to it, but at the end, it's a different head, and it says Epiphone.
So. I mean, okay. those two guitars are probably the two most emulated guitars, period.
Yeah.
The Stratocaster and Les Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. And I only know those because of the Guitar Hero Rock Band rivalry.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, it occurs to me I could mention a couple of video games that I've received as gifts, but I've been talking about video games a lot here for this show. I guess it's been a really long time since I was invited to join a severed dongle, but now I want to say my favorite gift of all time was my first Estes model rocket.
Oh yeah,
I had a real. I haven't really shot one in a long time, granted, but. When I was like 15 to 17, I had a lot of summers full of model rocketry, especially with the scouts. A lot of my compatriots in the Boy Scouts were really into that as well. And my grandmother got me. It was called the Gnome model rocket. It was pretty small, actually, probably like 10 inches tall, and it was bright silver chrome kind of exterior. And her plan was, you know, start me off in a small one because I'm probably going to lose this anyway. So at least I didn't spend that much money on it. I never lost that thing. It's still I still have it on my corner of my desk. I would go to the field outside of my house and just fire it I never lost sight of it and just ran and got it again. Put another core in. Put it back on the stand and fired it again.
Awesome.
And there were several other larger models, which actually did lose. This one, I think it was called the Mammoth, which was a good like 4 feet tall, I think.
Jesus.
Thereabouts. I lost it in my second shot. It just never found it again.
Watch this small child fly up in the
air. I should have painted it silver, because that really helps. Sign, but.
Why did I paint it blue?
Yep. And by the way, if there is another model rocket company out there that's not Estes, mention it in the comments, please, because I really think they own a complete monopoly on this on this whole market.
Tempted to make an October Sky reference, if you don't mind.
You can. It wasn't a bad movie. Yeah.
This rocket's going to make Miss Riley proud. Okay.
Prodigious.
Prodigious.
You had to fucking bring that movie,
Miss Riley.
So, do you guys know the name of the nonfiction novel that the movie's based on?
Oh God,
Looking in the Sky or something like that.
No,
it's what was it?
No, this is going to be a great challenge. It's called Rocket Boys.
Oh yeah,
and I bring that up because Rocket Boys and October Sky are anagrams. Even though October Sky is because Sputnik was launched in October, because Russians are really like that month for some reason, and
October Revolution.
I don't think that was even done. That was even done on purpose. But anagrams are fun sometimes.
Nice,
right on.
Hey, so, what was your best present or do you already?
Well, my best present. Does it have to be Christmas related?
I guess kind of.
Yeah. Fine. Because I was gonna go with because my absolute favorite was a birthday present. Well, let's see. I remember waking up in Colorado one Christmas morning, and there was a huge trunk just sitting in front of the tree, and it had like Ninja Turtles on it, right? And next to it, in gift wrap, was a turtle van, and inside the box was like the entire line, like the first wave of Ninja Turtle toys. All of them, like Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, Shredder.
Squeeze.
I had a foot soldier, dude. I got everything.
Just one. Those? That's all you need.
Just all of them. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, dude. I still have those in my room.
Want to play with them?
Fuck you. You can't play with my turtles, boy.
No. Yeah, trust me. I've been to his room. It looks like a 10-year-old lives there.
Wow.
That's not an insult. I wish I could still look like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, I kind of...
Your bed's a car. Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
It's a fucking sweet car. Yeah, I do have figures, you know, like lined up everywhere. But I can't... You know, there's just... I like that kind
of
shit.
No, I totally get that. It's like literally... It speaks to the inner child in all of this. I can totally get behind that. But...
If only we could touch it.
You know what? You know what's funny? My birthday actually follows Christmas by a couple days.
Like, yeah, same day as my sister, actually.
Yeah, how is that, by the way?
Fucking sucks. not so much because my birthday falls Christmas. Because my family actually does get me separate gifts for Christmas and for my birthday.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
or they get me a larger gift for Christmas and my birthday.
I always think of that one Simpsons episode where Lisa tells Bart, I'm going to make you regret the day you were born. And Bart says, I already do. It's way too close to Christmas.
There you go. Well, the thing is that I've always found it that I'm always traveling on my birthday. Not so, every year when we would go to New York to visit family, we'd have to immediately come back either on the 27th or on the 28th. So I'd be literally traveling on my birthday. So we'd get home after about 9 hours in the car and be like, yeah, here's a cake. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, you fucking douchebag.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go back
I mean, I understand why. I mean, I've done that drive now like 100 times, and it's fucking tiring. it's like 9 hours. You're looking at road the entire time, and you gotta combat holiday traffic. It sucks.
Happy birthday.
You do it on the way. Where's the lighter?
There's a fire in the car. Happy birthday, Colin.
Tragedy struck in New York today as young Colin Cockamus, on his birthday, rolled the cake over.
His birthday cake covered in my insurance.
Hello, State Farm. The cake set my presents on fire. And then I got the steering wheel, and then all hell broke loose.
Wow. If there ever was such a thing as cake insurance, I'm pretty sure that they probably struck that from the record after Portal came out. And they were just really getting tired of that line.
Yeah, I can understand that.
The Ellen McLean clause.
Yeah. That's a great line. Yeah. I'm going to have to use that.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, nowadays, I don't even look forward to Christmas. I don't even look forward to my birthday or New Year's. You know what I look forward to? Magfest. That's all it is. And that's the weird thing. Like, when I was a kid, I mean, obviously Magfest wasn't around then, but seriously, I remember always looking forward to Christmas, always looking forward to my birthday, and now that I'm older, I'm just like,
Magfest. To be fair, Magfest first was around in, like, 2002, so you were alive quite some time before it started, but...
Yeah.
I have the same feeling too, man.
Like, I mean, are we all sort of in agreement on this? I mean,
yep. I'm sure I've said on record before that MacFest is my absolute favorite convention.
Yes.
And I've been to comic conventions, anime conventions. MacFest stands head and shoulders above them all.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's always a real, you know, feather in my cap whenever it comes around.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
it's gonna be huge this year.
Mm. It's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
Mainly because I saw JonTron put it, you know, all the title on his video, Magfest. I was like, oh no! I know how many subscribers he has. Oh no! It's gonna be so many people.
Magfest.
Come on.
Anyway, so I mean, honestly, I mean, that's all we really have to talk about. I mean, anybody can think of another subject.
Well, okay. Post Christmas, let's talk about some of the stuff we're doing for Magfest.
Okay.
We are going to MAGFest.
Well, yes, we're going to MAGFest.
At the Gaylord Hotel.
We're interviewing people.
People.
Yes.
Possible interviews. And,
okay, fine. This was a horrible idea. I get it.
Famous
God.
People from video game industry. That's all I'll say.
And we're drinking a lot of alcohol.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Jordan's not.
We will play a lot of arcade cabinets.
Yes.
A lot of arcade cabinets.
I think we can all agree on that.
I want to play that. I have to play the Japanese drum game that I barely understand. Yeah,
Takatsu? No.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
What's it called? Mm-hmm.
Super Drum Time, yeah.
I can't remember if I mentioned, but at Otakon this summer, my friend Brendan and I went to that, and I think I'd say that it was pretty poor turnout, honestly. But I think my favorite part was that we finally got a chance to play the Typing of the Dead on the Dreamcast.
Oh shit!
Ooh. All right,
nice.
That was everything I imagined it could be and more.
Mm. The funny thing is, the only video game moment I actually remember enjoying that wasn't at MAGFest was it was. 2 years ago? 2 years ago, we first covered Too Many Games, and you were playing Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh yeah. That game was awesome. That game was the best thing I've ever played.
Like transforms too many into games. A robot.
Yeah, he was like, he was a robot, and then he would like do a dance, and then every all your antagonists, all your enemies would have like a seizure and die, basically, and they would just go.
I rather enjoyed kicking all those sparks at Joe Pesci.
I'll say funny things for a nickel.
Oh God, no! But I mean, like, I can't wait because honestly, what other time of the year am I gonna get to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning
and, play video
and go downstairs and fucking play some Crazy Taxi,
right?
What am I gonna get a chance to do that again?
Hey, everybody, it's time for some Crazy.
Well, I guess the next time you spend the night at my place.
Well, it's not the same because of the soundtrack.
Exactly. The PS3 version just doesn't have the soundtrack as the original. I have no idea why.
I always love doing that because I can actually do a pretty decent impersonation of the guy from the Crazy Taxi game.
I got a Class D.
You got a Class D license?
Class D license.
Hey, let's see how you did. A Class D license. Is that your best? I don't think so. Game over.
There's a string of taxi missions in Lego Marvel because, you know, clearly the superheroes have nothing better to do than to pilot, just drive civilians around. And the last guy, I was so happy when you did the fifth and last guy. He said, that was an excellent ride. You really earned yourself some crazy money. Like, thank you for trying. It's a little too late, honestly, but you know, I'm glad you're thinking about me.
Also, you know what I've noticed? Like, I was playing the PS3 version at your apartment the other day. All the corporate sponsors are gone. So every time I want to drive to KFC, I have to drive them to Chicken Shack. Every time I want to drive them to Pizza Hut, I got to drive them to Pizza House.
Pizza House.
Chicken Shack and Pizza House.
McDowell's.
It's like, I'm like, come on, guys, really? You couldn't shell out a couple bucks to get those back? I mean,
or you couldn't go the other way and just be like, okay, time to go to Pizza Slut.
Pizza Slut.
Hey, I guess we're not shelling out some crazy money.
Okay. I'm not sure if we're ever going to have a second episode of Inspired Lunacy, but the lonely movie announcer guy needs to square off with the guy from Crazy Taxi.
Do it. Yes.
Dude, we'll just do it as a segment. I don't care. Okay. Yeah, we can just do it on BGN one day.
Okay.
Yes. But yes,
I'm afraid that we'll have to hash out a script. For you see, the movie announcer guy is not great at improv.
Okay.
Hey, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
All right.
Place your bets.
No, I'm totally down for that. I would do it just because it honestly. The thing is, I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to make it through that without laughing.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Because I mean, the thing is like. Jordan, I don't know if you guys have listened to Inspired Lunacy, but Jordan's lonely movie announcer is just so fucking hilarious.
No, I'm pretty much just doing Don LaFontaine. I'm hardly the first person to ever do that.
No, but I know.
I do remember, like, didn't like all of us audition for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was so pleased that you guys picked me.
Honestly, you had the best one. One or two of us were laughing at everyone else's, but everyone was just dying when you did it. I mean, it's... all right, well, now I have something to look forward to for a later episode.
Hell yeah. We got plans.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I would not mind doing that.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing that at MAGFest. Ooh. I just thought of something interesting.
What?
It's a four-way voice-off between Shea Gorath, Duke Nukem, the lonely movie announcer, and the announcer from Crazy Taxi. We gotta make this fucking happen.
It's a four-way battle brawl! Monday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. We gotta make this happen. We gotta make it happen, Jordan.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Art thou
bored? Lonely movie announcer guy does not respond well to pressure.
I'll do my best, Colin. It's the less I can do. So.
That's it. We gotta stop.
All right, everybody. Gotta go to castwavestudios.com for all more entertainment, and you can go to soundcloud.com and log in through your Facebook, and then type in Castwave Studios at the search bar and follow us. Also, you can follow us at Twitter on BGN Podcasts with Pearl. It's a plural, BGN Podcasts, and that's about it.
Ooh, yeah.
And castwavestudios.com.
Castwavestudios.clown?
Dot clown. That's a new page. castwavestudios.com/Amazon for all of your post-holiday shopping for the new year. Because, you need to shop for stuff. Anyway. Alrighty. And outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.
Rosebud frozen peas. Full of country goodness and green penis.